We're talking today about our authority in Christ. And so when we talk about authority, the main thing that we need to know is that God has given each of us authority. Because Jesus said in his word, in Matthew 18, he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And that verse starts at what we call the Great Commission. That's where he says, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And so now I'm commissioning you to go out and do everything that you've seen me do." I don't know about you, but for me, that's a huge challenge. When Andy was saying that I've been laboring over speaking today, it's because I know that God has me on this journey of learning more about my authority in him. And he's really been convicting me over the last few months that in some ways, I've kind of made it into two commissionings and two gospels. You know, like I can do the preach, I can do the pray for people, I long to see people saved and healed in their hearts and minds. But then there's that other part that we call signs and wonders, and that's for them to do. Somewhere in me, even though I know we're all called to it, something in me has separated those two. And it's been out of fear, it's been out of a lack of faith. And when God challenged me to speak on this today, I knew it was an invitation into a journey with him. And he was saying, "Zelobia, it was one commission that I gave to every single one of my kids. We are all called, every single one of us, to preach his word, to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to see the dead raised, to see people set free from demons. We are all called to do that. And we all have the same living God in us. It says the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in us. That same power in every single one of us. It doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian. It doesn't matter what we know of God. It doesn't matter if we go to church on Sunday every week and if we have prayed so many hours this week and read our Bible. There's no boxes to tick. It's not about us. It's Christ in us. And every single one of us as his children have Christ in us. We have the resurrection, living power of Jesus Christ in us. And so I'm being challenged, and I hope every one of us will be today, that God has given us and actually commanded us to go and do these things. So authority is actually not about us. It's about our position. It's about the fact that we are sons and daughters of the living God, and God has chosen to dwell in us and work through us. And he has given us the authority. I heard someone speaking a few years ago, and he was saying when we read that verse, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." That's what Jesus says. And he said, if Jesus has all authority, then how much does the enemy have? If Jesus has all authority, how much does the enemy have? And I was really challenged because I realized that in my journey, at some places, in some areas of my life, and in some areas of when I look around me, I have like this hierarchy and grid, and it's almost like, well, God's able to do that, and well, the enemy's really powerful in that area. Do you know what I mean? And so sometimes when someone has asked me to pray, for example, for someone who's sick, and I think, oh gosh, and I feel fear, I feel intimidated. But Jesus has all authority, and that's what he's given to me. And if Jesus has all authority, then the enemy has none. And I was imagining, you know, like this big bowl of keys, and there's Jesus and there's the enemy, and Jesus took it all, which means there's none left for the enemy. And the Bible says that the enemy comes like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Why does it say that? He's not a roaring lion. He likes to present himself as the king of the jungle, but he's not. And he's seeking whom he may devour, because it is his intention, his desire to devour. He does not want us to know what God has for us. He does not want us to know that God loves us and that he's with us and that we have all authority. But he's seeking whom he may devour. You see, we have a role in this. We can choose to listen to the enemy, or we can choose to tell him to take a hike. He's seeking whom he may devour. So authority is about position. You want to think about it on this earth. For example, you have a man who's walking down the street, and if he suddenly came up to you and said, you know what, you're breaking the law, you can't do this, you'd kind of look at him and go, who are you? Like, that person has no power over me, they have no influence in my life, I don't know them. But now that man goes into his house and he gets ready for work and he comes out and now he's wearing his uniform, which is a police officer. And now we recognize his position. And he has been delegated authority, he's been given authority by the government to enforce the laws of the land. And now when he gets in his car and he puts his little siren on, you have to pull over to the side of the road. And he has the right to come and say to you, the law says you're supposed to be going 70 here and you're going faster than that, here's a ticket. He has the right to enforce the laws of the land because he's been given authority. And if we don't respect and heed that authority, there's consequences. It's the same way in the kingdom of God. We, as his children, have been given authority. And because of our position in him, we have the right to enforce the laws of the kingdom. That's what we've been given. So Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. This is Mark 16. And these signs will accompany those who believe. These signs will accompany those who believe. And it goes on to say, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. I was really chewing on that this week, because again, it was wrecking the mentality that I've been walking under for a while. It says that the Lord worked with them, and the Lord confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Because the Bible actually says signs and wonders will follow those who believe. Okay, I believe in Jesus. Are there signs and wonders following me? No, why not? They aren't in my life. I'll admit that wholeheartedly. I have prayed for people. I remember one time Isaac had an asthma attack. We were trying with this puffer to get it going and it just wasn't happening. And I prayed for him because that's what I do. And the asthma attack stopped and I was stunned. I mean, I was shocked. I was like, it worked. Why are we surprised? Has anyone ever prayed for someone and seen them healed and been surprised? And you're often more surprised than the person you're praying for, especially if they're an unbeliever. Because you tell them that Jesus heals, and they go, okay. And so you pray for them, and they get healed, and they're like, great, that's exactly what you said. And you're going, but he healed you. Like, it works, right? We get surprised, but the Bible says, and we believe the Bible to be true, signs and wonders will follow those who believe. So what needs to change here? We need to start believing what we're reading. Not just believing parts of the Bible, but all of it, because it's truth. Now, our key to that authority is the name of Jesus. In Luke 10:17, it says that Jesus had sent out the 72, and they'd preached, and they had seen signs and wonders, and the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. That is the key that we have, is the name of Jesus. That's our access to the authority. And the name of Jesus is a name of power. I can't remember if I've said this before, but I remember when I first became a Christian, I was 8 years old, and for the first few years of being a Christian, I wasn't able to go to church. I didn't have access to a Bible. I didn't have access to anyone telling me what Christianity was supposed to look like. I just knew that Jesus was my best friend, and I talked to him. But I was aware of something from the very beginning. And that was the name of Jesus. Because you see, when I said the name of Jesus, something happened. There was like this buzzing on my lips and on my tongue. And I didn't know that I was experiencing the power in the name of Jesus. I just remember having been told I had to go to the religious classes at mosque, and they were talking about this, the prophets, and they got to the prophet Jesus, and they said some things that I didn't agree with. And I could not stand up and say, that's wrong! Because I was so convinced that by the way I said the name of Jesus, that they would know I was his kid. There was something when I said that name. It didn't happen with God or Lord or King. It was Jesus. And when I said his name, I later looked back and realized it's like I was experiencing the power in the name of Jesus. And you know, I remember a couple of years ago we were listening to some DVDs. There's a guy in California who's done a series of DVDs called Father of Lights and things like that, and he's filming testimonies of people being healed and people experiencing God. And they were interviewing this one guy who, at birth, had been basically sent to the temple and was training up to become a guru of gurus. And he said, you know, as a Christian, can I say this, that a lot of us Christians don't realize what we have access to, and we don't realize what we have with the name of Jesus. But let me tell you that when I was training under this guru, and he was a very powerful man, make no mistake, he said, we would have people come in who were under the influence of a demon. They were longing to be set free. And he said, we didn't have access to the name of Jesus. So our only hope, our only option, was to call on a bigger demon to come and subdue the little one so that they could be free of the little one. But of course, you know what's going to happen then. You've now got a bigger problem. We didn't have the name of Jesus, he said. But now as a Christian, I can say, in the name of Jesus, be free. And that person is freed. He said, that is the access that we have, all of us here, as sons and daughters of the living God. We have the name of Jesus. And all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, and he's now given to us. And he not only says, go and do what I've done, but he actually says, greater things than these will you do in my name. Can I tell you, I'm filled with curiosity to know what greater things means. But that's what he says. And he doesn't say it's a possibility. He says, you will do in my name. That's his intention. That's his plan. You want to know what God's will is for our life? That's what he wants to do. He wants to use us to go out there and to reach those people and let them know that God loves them, and to see them become free, to see them become all that God intended them to be, for them to know that God is good and that God loves them and that he is for them and not against them. Because they don't think that right now. Even the ones who say they don't believe in God, well, if there is a God, he sure isn't a very good one, is he? They don't believe that God is good, but he is. And we know it. That's the good news that we have, isn't it? I'm getting way off my notes, but anyways. Okay, so we've been given authority. And as I said, authority is about position. So our positioning is this, that we need to come under the one who has all authority, which is God. In James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So I'm going to give a practical example for me. I have a family member that all my life would go and visit, and this particular family member is not a Christian. They have their own faith, and every time we go to their house is just filled with like heaviness. Like they're sick, they're in pain, they're filled with frustration and unforgiveness and anger, and it's just not a pleasant place to be. And I'd always leave their house feeling really heavy-hearted. I'd often leave with a headache. I'd sometimes find myself the next few days really angry and agitated. And I came to a place of kind of connecting the dots and realizing every time I go there, this is how I feel for the next couple of days. So whatever's ailing them is actually getting on to me. And so I thought, oh, I better start praying for protection over myself, which is a good thing to do. There's nothing wrong with that. However, and I remember even, you know, being married and having my three kids, and we'd go there and I'd be like praying and praying and praying. And if I could just pray a thick enough layer of protection, then maybe none of that gruck is going to attach itself to us. And I was praying from a position of fear and intimidation, because that stuff there is going to get us. I don't want to have a headache. I don't want to feel depressed for the next couple of days. And then God began to speak to me about the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And the Bible says that we have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves. And I was listening to this woman preach, and she was talking about the fact that light overcomes darkness. So now think about it. When you walk into a room that is pitch black, that's dark, do you first have to push all that darkness out of the room in order to create space in the room so that when you turn the light can fill it? No. Of course not. The natural property of light is that you walk in that pitch black room, you turn the light on, and light floods the room. It fills it. Nothing hinders it. If there's an obstacle in the room, yes, there'll be a shadow behind it, won't there? So we need to pray about those obstacles. But light overcomes darkness. That's just the effect of it. And the Lord reminded me, Zelovia, you are the light. You are the salt. What does that mean? It means that Jesus is living me. The light of the world is in me. In Matthew it says, "So let your light shine, that men may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." So God's light is shining through me. That means everywhere I go, I'm like that lamp. I walk into the room and light comes where I am because I'm bringing the light of God with me. Blaine was talking the other week about the kingdom of God. That's that light in us. We bring God's kingdom, which is a lack of darkness. It's a lack of fear. It's a lack of pain, a lack of sorrow, a lack of grief, and more. We're bringing that with us where we go. And I suddenly realized, wait a minute, I've been seeing this all wrong. When I go visit this relative, in fact, wow, there's five of us that go, we bring the light and the kingdom into this person's house. And therefore, that darkness needs to leave because we're here. And I began to realize that this relative of mine loves when we come to visit, more so than all the other family members. And there's nothing special. In fact, we probably visit a lot less than other people do. And I began to recognize this favor, and I thought, you know what it is? It's that when we come into the home and we bring the light of God, which causes the darkness to flee because it has no right to be there when there's light, because light overcomes darkness, this relative of mine actually has respite and relief from all the darkness that's harassing her. She doesn't have to experience fear and sadness and grief and all those things when we are there, because we bring the kingdom of God with us, and she gets to taste his presence. She gets to taste his peace and his love and his joy and his hope. That's what we bring every time we come into her house. That's why she loves having us there, because it changes the atmosphere. We sang it this morning. The atmosphere is changing now. Why? Because the presence of the Lord is here, and he's in every single one of us as his children, not because of anything we've done, but because of our position. We are sons and daughters of the living God, and he lives in us. And so where we go, we affect the atmosphere. And yes, pray for protection, but not because we're on the defense and we're in fear and intimidation, but because we go, watch out, enemy, we're here. We're God's kids. The kingdom of God is at hand. That's what Jesus said. And that's true for every one of us. When you're walking into your home, when you're walking into your workplace, when you walk into a school, when you're walking down the street, you are bringing the kingdom of God with you. God's light is shining through you. Even in that verse, so let your light shine. Let simply means give permission. That's all it means. I wake up in the morning, Lord, I give you permission for your light to shine through me today. It's not about what I do. It's not about what I know. It's about me giving God permission to shine through me. It's his light, and he is the fullness. We don't get a half package deal. None of us, no matter your size, your age, no matter how long you've been a Christian, how much you know, how much you think you understand, we get the full package of God in us, flowing through us. That's how it works. I have a friend, and when her little girl was born, she was really quite sick. And so her and her husband were constantly visiting the hospital in the first couple of years of this little girl's life. And we were chatting one day, because it was a group of us that were getting together regularly to pray for this little girl. And she said, "Salobi, you know one thing that's really funny is whenever I go to the hospital, all these other parents, they like come over to us and they just want to be around us and talk to us all the time. It's the strangest thing. They're just always wanting to be around us." And I said to my friend, "Well, can I share a secret with you? You see, when you walk into a hospital room, imagine too, a children's ward, you've got parents who are stricken with grief and fear and despair and hopelessness and sorrow and anguish, right? Darkness is everywhere. I mean, the enemy is having a heyday in that room. But you walk in the room and you bring the light of God with you. And in his presence, there is no fear. There is fullness of joy. There is peace. There is hope. All the fruit of his spirit is flowing through you. And so having a dark room and you turn this lamp on in the corner, where would you go when you want to see clearly? Over to the lamp. If I'm trying to read a book in a room that's dark, I don't sit on the opposite side of the room from the lamp. I go as close as I can to it so the effect of the light enables me to see clearly, right? I said, do you realize when you walk in that hospital room, this is God changing things for good because that's what he does. You are bringing hope and life just by being in the room. And so those people keep coming to you because they're sensing God's presence. And when they're near you for that moment in that place, they are not paralyzed by fear and hopelessness and grief. They can sense that you have God's hope in you. And you do. Well, I tell you, my friend was just amazed, and she saw it very differently now when she went into the hospital, because yes, she was there because her child was unwell, but actually this became like a ministry for her, because she realized every time I go in, I have the privilege of getting all these people a moment to taste the kingdom of God, to taste the goodness and the reality of the living God. So we have been given authority for us and for others. We need to remember that we're here on this earth for a purpose. It's not just about living our daily lives. What shall I eat? What would I like to do? Let me make plans. I'd like to do this. We are here on this earth for a purpose. We have been given we've given our lives to Christ, which means it's not our own. And we are put here to change the world around us, to let the atmosphere be affected. So may we give God permission to let his light shine through us. May we recognize that each one of us have that authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, says Jesus. And now you go and do likewise. Like, I'm handing you the keys, you guys. Go and do likewise. So when we see someone in need, when we see someone who needs prayer, when we see someone who is struggling, we can do something about it. We do not need to feel powerless. In our own lives, when we have thoughts that are running away, that are starting to get filled with fear, we have a choice to make. You see, when you have a seed of fear, when you have a thought of fear that comes into you, if you start to listen to that thought and think, oh yeah, well, that's not very good, is it? And the more you dwell on it, the more those thoughts grow. Have you ever noticed that? And they get stronger and they get more powerful, and eventually you're paralyzed by fear. Has anyone been paralyzed by fear? Because I certainly have. The more you pay attention to it, the more power the enemy has to fill you with that fear and to let it grow stronger. But remember, we don't have to give in to that. We don't have to let that be the journey we go down. The Bible says to take captive every thought. So we have a choice. And when that first thought of fear comes, we think, you know what? I'm starting to feel really scared of those thoughts, but fear is not from God, which means those thoughts aren't from him. Hang on a minute. I don't want to listen to this. And right then and there you can pray, God, would you come and would you protect my mind? I need your help. I'm feeling really fearful about this situation. God, would you intervene? Every single one of us can do that. Now, we're blessed, we're part of a body. We can also have people pray for us, but we are not powerless in and of ourselves. Okay, we're going to stop there. I've gone really over. But, John, I would love it if you could just pray, just play some instrumental. And I just want to invite us to have a little bit of time just with us and God. So if you can just forget everyone around you and just close your eyes and just talk to God. And I want to encourage you, if you would like some prayer, if you're saying, Zalobi, I'm hearing what you're saying, but I'm feeling really like about this tall and I'm feeling really weak and helpless. I want to understand my authority. I want to get it. I want that revelation. Please come up and get some prayer. I'd love to pray for you. There's others in the room who would love to pray for you. Getting up out of your seat and coming up for prayer, saying, you know what? I want to be free. I want to get stronger. It's actually something that we should be cheering over when people get up and ask for prayer, because we're moving closer towards God and we're saying, I don't care what anyone thinks. I want to be free. So if you want to come up and get some prayer, please do. If you feel that you can pray for people as they come up, then please come up and pray for them. And if not, then can you just stay in your seats and just pray for what God is doing in the room? We all have a part to play in seeing one another come into freedom. So let's just take a few minutes now and then we'll close. So just engage with God. And please, if you want some prayer, come up. I'd love to pray for you. Yeah, so Father God, we just come before you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I believe that you are speaking to hearts and minds today. And Lord, I pray that you would come and that you would bring your revelation to our hearts and minds of who you are and who you are living in us. And Lord, I pray for today, for people, today would be a day of change and a day of new beginnings. That today would be the beginning of a new journey, Lord, of us understanding more fully who we are in you. But come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come and have your way. We give you permission, Lord.